This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Yesterday, I told you about two recent federal appellate court cases in which the judges upheld the public schools in requiring students to answer a lot of nosy, self-incriminating, and leading questions about sex, drugs, and suicide. The school's passion for forcing kids to answer these nosy questions is part of the liberal plan for the village to raise the child rather than parents. Teachers are certainly not required to answer such intrusive questions, so why are our children? The issue in the case called CN versus Ridgewood Board of Education was a 156-question survey called Profiles of Student Life, Attitudes, and Behaviors. It interrogated students about their personal lives and activities, asking questions about sex, drugs, suicide, incriminating behavior, spirituality, tolerance, and other personal matters. Questions 92 and 93 in this survey demanded to know how many times they had used cocaine in their lives or during the last 12 months, and the answer choices were none, 1, 2, 3 to 5, 6 to 9, 10 to 19, 20 to 39, and more than 40. This gave students the false impression that casual use of cocaine is common and acceptable. Misleading questions can have a powerful effect. Our legal system recognizes this by providing dozens of reasons for lawyers to object to questions in court in order to protect their witnesses from having to answer improper questions. Children lack the maturity to tell the difference between questions they should or should not answer. In this Ridgewood decision, the court agreed with the parents that the students' participation in the survey may have been mandatory, and the court conceded that the leading questions could be suggestive to students, but nevertheless, the court sided with the school and ruled that parents' and pupils' rights were not violated.
You've been listening to the Phyllis Schlafly Report, presented by Eagle Forum, the national pro-family organization. If you'd like your children to know more about the nosy questions that their school should not ask, write to Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Just ask for Nosy Questions. Once again, that's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. And join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Against illegal immigration and defender of the First and Second Amendment rights, straight from the ghetto, the prisoner of South Central, Terry Anderson.
What's with this Terry Anderson guy?
He's articulating the popular rage.
Stupid people of America, good evening. If you ain't mad, you ain't paying attention. I'm just back from Washington, D.C., folks. We had a great rally on the grass right in front of the Capitol building. The founding fathers would have been proud that finally, finally, somebody was standing up for America. We had a nice turnout of patriots there. They were there in all shapes, colors, sizes. There was more press there than you could shake the First Amendment at, and a handful of protesters who were also there exercising their constitutional rights. Even the Nazi party showed up, but guess what? They were in full uniform, Sieg Heil and all. They were there protesting illegal immigration, but guess who else they were protesting? They were protesting us because we were not racially pure enough for them. Our group had different races and different nationalities there, and they didn't set right with them. Isn't that amazing? Two congressmen showed up, Dana Rohrabacher and Tom Tancredo, and they offered their support, and God bless them both. We also went to a meeting at the Virginia Minutemen meeting in Herndon, Virginia on Wednesday night, and we saw the grassroots growing alive and well. But my real adventure in Washington, D.C. was Wednesday afternoon when I joined two other gentlemen of the black persuasion, my son Adam and a good friend of mine, Carlos, who was born and raised in Washington, D.C., and we visited four members of the Congressional Black Caucus. We decided with some prior planning to focus on members of Congress that happened to be of our race, who had turned a blind eye and a callous heart to the plight of those who are not as elite as themselves. So we visited four offices, two West Coast and two East Coast, all by design. That's right. We started off with four people that we thought we could talk to, maybe not convince, but at least have them hear our gripes, our grievances, so that they would be on notice that we had said these things to them. We went to Eleanor Holmes Norton, the congresswoman of Washington, D.C., who has no vote. Congressman Melvin Watt, who is the head of the Congressional Black Caucus. He's from North Carolina. And of Los Angeles, we went to Maxine Waters and Diane Watson. We had a slight wager as to which office would be the nastiest to us. And to our surprise, nobody won the money. I'll tell you why in a minute. We first went to Eleanor Norton Holmes' office, where we were told by a young aide that she was not in. Now, that seemed very strange to us, especially since we had seen her walk from room to room in the office 2 minutes before he said that. But, you know, oh well, what are you going to do? Then we went to Diane Watson's office, my congresswoman. Well, we were also told that she wasn't there and that the person we needed to talk to also wasn't there. Amazing. So we left. And then we went to the creme de la creme of nasty. Look down your nose at the taxpayer. Forget who's paying your paycheck, congressional aides. And they were in the office of Melvin Watt, the head of the Congressional Black Caucus. This is a story you're going to want to pay close attention to, folks, because it tells you what we are up against with congresspeople and those who they hire to assist them. Congressional aides in this office were just as nasty as they could be, and we were greeted by a woman by the name, I believe, of Joyce Brayboy, Front Street. She couldn't have been less interested in anything we had to say. She was rude, unattentive, and though we continued to tell her of our concerns that the Black Caucus votes in unison against any and every bill that would fix illegal immigration and the problem of illegal immigration, after pouring our hearts out to her, she asked us four times, "What is it you want from us?" She continuously said, "What is it you want from us?" I'm looking at this broad like, I just told you what we wanted. We want you to explain to us why the Black Caucus votes like it does. Now, she says that's not true. She said the Black Caucus by coincidence always votes in unison because they vote in the best way they can serve their constituents. The Black Caucus constituents are black. And those black people put those black people in office who are members of the Black Caucus. Now, black people are not being served by illegal immigration and massive illegal immigration. Black people are coming up short, and these black congressional aides of the Black Caucus members should understand that black folks are pissed. But she didn't think that way. She said they're voting in a way that will help and serve the constituents. And just by coincidence, they all vote the exact same way. After about 9 or 10 minutes of her making sure that we knew we were about as welcome as a turd in a swimming pool, she passed us off to another guy. This guy, I believe, was the head guy, and his name was Paul A. Braithwaite. He started out nice enough, but after informing us 2 or 3 times that we needed an appointment to come into his office, he began to sour. Now, I don't understand why we need an appointment to go to a congressional office. These people are public servants. They serve us. I'm not saying we should be abusive to them for that, but this is the line of work. This is the endeavor that they have chosen to live by. They have chosen to be public servants. Well, damn it, serve. Don't tell me I need an appointment to come in there. I don't need an appointment. I've been to many congressional offices, and I've never been told that. They sit down and listen, and Carlos, who was with me, is not only a Democrat like them, but he is a constituent who has members of his family that live in Congressman Watt's district. But we weren't coming there even from that point of view. We were coming there from the point of view of three black men trying to understand why the Black Caucus is selling us down the drain, and Mr. Watt is the head of that caucus that is dissing us this way. That's why we were there. He told me that all members of the Black Congressional Caucus are definitely against illegal immigration, at which point I asked him, why didn't their voting records reflect that, such as in HB 4437? He said that the Black Caucus had a problem with one piece of HB 4437. I said, okay. And folks, you and I know what that problem is. The problem is it was written by Republicans. That's the problem. But they won't say that. So I ask him, okay, if that's the case, then where were the Congressional Black Caucus bills that were written by Congressional Black Caucus members to fight illegal immigration? Since you don't like the way the Republicans are doing it, where are the bills written by you to fight this problem that is hurting your black constituents? Forgive me for using that term over and over, folks, but I'm talking about people who are not protecting the ones that they claim to protect. Black folks are the ones coming up short on this issue. I got no answer to that. And at some point in the conversation, as I was talking to this guy, looking him in the eye, by the way, and this, folks, is true. He actually did this. At some point, he sighed and rolled his eyes. He rolled his eyes in disgust. That's right. He did. At that point, I even paused for 10 seconds. 9 to 10 actual seconds, I paused and looked at this guy because I didn't know whether to say, okay, man, you win, I'm out of here, or to keep talking or tell him to kiss me, and you know where. But I didn't do that because we had gone in there with respect. We never raised our voice. We never got angry. We never got animated like I am now. What we did was went in there as calm as we could and tried to get some answers. And when he rolled his eyes at me and sighed, I knew it was over with then. I knew that we were on our own and when he was not going to help in any kind of way and that we were going to have to just get on. Even I, folks, who had been through the halls of Congress many times and heard and seen it all, was shocked when he did that. I knew that the brick wall was reinforced with titanium and nothing we said or did was going to get through it, and we left. My son, Adam, who had never been to Congress, looked at me in the hallway and asked me, he said, man, are they all like them? And then he told me that this was an eye-opener, and that he couldn't believe that he was being treated this way as an American and as a taxpayer, and he pays a lot of taxes, but and mostly by somebody of his own race. We made our last visit, folks, to the office of Maxine Waters after leaving these people. We sat there for 20 minutes, and it was a positive meeting, and I'm glad this happened. I'll tell you why in a minute. We sat there for 20 minutes and talked to a young man named Dana, who didn't necessarily agree with what we had to say, but he was interested in what we had to say. He was attentive, and he was extremely polite, and it was refreshing to be treated like a taxpayer, like his boss. This is not the first time I have been treated this way at Maxine Waters' office, and I applaud. I applaud Ms. Waters. Even though she doesn't vote the way we want and doesn't see eye to eye with us, I applaud her for the care with which she takes in choosing her staff. It shows that she really makes sure to get people who are attentive and nice, polite, and will listen to a constituent. Bravo, Maxine. But I was mostly happy that my son's first trip to Congress, his first experience, wasn't soured by those people in Watts' office who are public servants and have no empathy for the public. They're black but don't care about black folks. You find me a person out there who will tell you that they are pro-black, that they are a member of the black caucus, that they look out for black people, and then when black people are suffering, they do nothing about it, something's wrong. Now, if you tell them that that's white folks keeping black people out of schools, white folks attacking us in the jails, white folks taking our jobs, white folks depressing our wages, white folks treating us this way, they would be talking about no justice, no peace, let's march in the streets. But because it is the new people, the Klan with the tan, they turn a blind eye because these people are, quote, minorities, unquote, supposedly like us. Black folks talk in terms of minorities and people of color. Hispanics talk about Hispanics, and that's the difference. We are not inclusive with them when it's their turn for us to be inclusive. We only include them in our stuff, and that's what angers me. And I'm not talking about all Hispanic people. We got good Americans who are Hispanics. What I am talking about is these people that have come here and usurped our position as Americans, climbing up the ladder as the, quote, only minority in this country that was recognized to have been tortured and enslaved. And now all of a sudden, we are third-class citizens instead of second-class citizens. We have always been last. The only difference is now we're third instead of second. That angers me about people that claim to be for us and are so race-conscious and everything on their mind is race. Well, damn it, when are you going to help your own? That's what I ask, and that's what we haven't gotten. It was a nice trip to Washington, folks. Don't be disillusioned by the things I say, but remember this. You are on your own, and that is why we must do it ourselves. And I would say this to Congressman Watts. Those people you got working for you suck. And that's the truth. This is the Terry Anderson Show on the All-American Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Roy Burns, president of the Association for Los Angeles Deputy Sheriffs. Many of us in law enforcement have come from military backgrounds. On Friday, November 11th, we celebrate Veterans Day. In 1921, an unknown World War I soldier was buried in Arlington National Cemetery. Ceremonies occurred earlier in England and France, where an unknown soldier was buried in each nation's highest place of honor. These memorial services all took place on November 11th, the anniversary of the end of World War I, which was 11 a.m., the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month. This day is now known as Veterans Day. On November 11th of each year, we honor the U.S. veterans who fought on our behalf to protect and serve, the highest calling our nation has. I served in the United States Marine Corps before becoming a deputy sheriff, and say to you, Semper Fidelis. I'm Roy Burns. Thanks for listening.
Talk about the illegal alien invasion, folks. And let me tell you something. I'm not one of these people that's all black and no American. No. But when I'm up against people who are so pro-black, every word out of their mouth is about black this and black that, and they even use the African-American term, which I don't use. When I'm up against people like that, and I'm talking to them, I try to get on their level. Okay, you claim to be so pro-black for the black people. Show and tell. Put up or shut up, and you haven't done it. That is why there's riots in the prisons. The numbers of people coming here illegally has fueled that increase in population, and that is why they are killing brothers in these prisons right now today, but they won't address that. I want to remind all you folks out there that have friends and relatives who cannot hear the sound of our voice, they can hear us live by going to our website. That's the TerryAndersonShow.com. I want to welcome all the good folks at KFNX 1100 AM Phoenix, Arizona, KDON, KDWN 720 AM Las Vegas, Nevada, and all the people on our stations listening on the RBN Network. Welcome to the Terry Anderson Show. Let me give out that caller number now. Those who want to call, agree, disagree, but don't forget, you give back all that you give and then some. That number is 1-866-870-5752. 1-866-870-5752.
And now it's time for the most horriblest clown of the week.
Yes, it is time for the most horriblest clown of the week. Folks, this trip to Washington, D.C., I did something that I had never done before. I accompanied my son Adam and my good friend Carlos Bright, a native and lifelong citizen of Washington, D.C., to the City Hall. We lobbied on the local D.C. municipal level. Never did that before. Everything was always congressional offices. So we went there with him because he wanted to talk to some of the city council members who are not serving him on this issue, because the city can do certain things, the state can do certain things, as the federal government can do certain things. Upon arriving at City Hall and after proceeding through the metal detectors, we met in the foyer D.C.'s only openly gay, that means homosexual, ex-Republican city council member, a client named David Catania. He immediately knew who Carlos was from previous emails, at which time Carlos engaged him on the subject of illegal aliens run rampant in the District of Columbia. I'm standing there. I ain't saying a word. I'm cool. Carlos explained what was happening to the schools, housing, and jobs in the lower and middle class black areas in that community. Those facts fell upon deaf ears. In fact, the deafest ears I have ever seen in my life. The councilman stated, you ready for this? He stated that no council member would ever be against illegal immigration. And then he hardened his stance and became increasingly more arrogant. Then he began to become abusive, saying that he would never join our, quote, witch hunt, unquote. Well, needless to say, at that point, even though we had been very peaceful and respectful, I could take it no longer. I couldn't stand it. So very nicely, I turned to Carlos in a calm, sedate voice and told Carlos, within earshot of this Mr. Catania, that I was reminding him this man was not for us. And that when it's black folks struggling at the bottom of this issue, no politician like this guy with this callous heart of his was going to help us. We were on our own. Man, did I push his button. At this point, the prissy congressman, city councilman, exploded in a tirade befitting a spoiled child who won't let you play with his marbles. He started screaming and using the S word. That's right, the excrement word at me in the foyer of the city hall. This is an elected official. He starts screaming, do you know me? Do you know me? I said, nope, don't want to. Do you know me? How long have you been in Washington, D.C.? I said, I've been here about 2 days. Well, you don't know me well enough to say those things. I have helped many people of many races in this city, and if you lived here, you would know that. I said, you ain't helping on this issue. I don't believe you. I just don't believe you're one of those people that used to wear a hood on your head. You used to be a Klan member and all this stuff. I'm laughing at the guy. I can't contain myself. I said, my great-grandfather was a slave, some Klan member I would make. I don't believe it. Yeah, you wore a hood and all this stuff. So he's going on and on. And then he starts cursing at me again in the foyer of the city hall. So I started walking away. I put my hands up. I said, I won't tolerate that type of speech, that profanity, because, you know, my virgin ears were tingling and I was just intimidated. You know what I mean? Anyway, so I walked away. And as we got to the elevator to go upstairs, this clown, this idiot, starts screaming, why don't you get out of my town and go back to L.A.? I said, check this out, homeboy. Now, check it out good. You or nobody else is ever going to tell me where I can go in my country, especially in this town where I pay your salary. The whole country pays your salary because you are the District of Columbia. I laughed at him one more time and went upstairs. This guy was inside. You could see the steam coming off of his head. He's about to bust a gut. He couldn't take it. It amazes me, folks. If this is the level of representation that they have in the city, it's no wonder Marion Barry smokes crack. There's no wonder that the city has such a high crime rate and poverty is rampant. And it's no wonder that D.C. internally is in shambles with people like this, openly gay, that means homosexual, ex-Republican, D.C. City Councilman David Catania. You suck. And you are the most horriblest clown of the week. All right, folks, we had a great trip. You know, it was one of those things that we enjoyed doing because we get there to talk to our representatives, alleged representatives. It's supposed to be a representative form of government. But you know what? We don't usually get represented the way we want to get represented. But we have to keep their feet to the fire. We got to keep pushing it in their face and talking to them. It was an experience. This guy was about as professional as I have seen in maybe a Ringling Brothers circus or maybe a DC comic book. You know what I mean? The funny pages. Unbelievable. We're going to get right to the phones first. I'm going to go to Mr. Rick Altman, a good friend of ours from FAIR, calling from San Francisco. Rick, what do you hear? What do you say?
Brother, you crack me up. I mean, you say it perfectly. You articulate it the way it ought to be. It's just, you crack me up, and you're one of my heroes, and you always have been.
Well, it's mutual, Rick. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, I appreciate the opportunity to come on and plug a little event that we're going to have on Wednesday. Be a good follow-on for all of you that went to Washington and did just fine work, and it was great coverage, by the way. I was monitoring it all the way. Terrific coverage. Wednesday night at Senator Feinstein's office in Los Angeles, we're hoping to have hundreds of people there for a candlelight vigil. And I know, Terry, you have this announcement up on your website. American Patrol has it up. Barbaco put it up. Some others have put it up. What we're hoping to do is to have a candlelight vigil, get some news coverage, and do this because we are doing it not against something, we're doing it for the American worker.
Absolutely.
This is for the middle class. What we want to say is we do not want to have a guest worker amnesty because we want to protect American workers and the American middle class. We had a successful event in Nashville on the 27th, and there's a link on your website. People can check it out. There were 500 to 600 people there, and by the time they were gone, the parking lot was filled up with wax. It was unbelievable. But it was a tremendous outpouring of regular, you know, salt of the earth Americans who just showed up and said, protect our jobs, protect the American worker, what you've always talked about, protecting the average American. And I think we're going to have a good event, and we want to invite everybody to come out. I know Fox News and CNN are interested in covering this event, and we'll have speakers, of course. I know your schedule's tied up. You're busy, but we're hoping that you can make it and be a speaker as well. And, you know, we're just going to do this across the country from one senator to the next. I mean, the battle is about to be joined here in the next couple of months on this guest worker amnesty. And while this is a very successful president and he has gotten a lot of what he wants, we are determined that he is not going to get this. He is not going to wreck the middle class with a guest worker amnesty. It isn't going to happen, and this is part of our effort to try to prevent that from happening.
That event is going to be this coming Wednesday, the 15th of February. It's at 6 p.m., folks, at 11111 Santa Monica Boulevard. That's here in L.A. And it's a candlelight vigil, peaceful event. We're going to be there to protest. And if you folks can make it, we want you to be there. It's a good deal. That we don't always talk to the senators, folks. We talk to the press. And if the like people were saying, well, no senators came to our rally. What some congressmen did, but no senators came. So what? They found out about it. It was all over the news that evening in Washington, D.C. They had to see it. There was no way. And that's what we do. And not only do we talk to them, we make converts of people who sit at home and say, wow, I didn't know anybody thought that way but me. And this is why we have these events, so that we can get the press coverage, and the press will come out, and maybe the word will get back to Ms. Feinstein that people are a little perturbed with her. We'll
see.
You're
exactly right, Terry. I mean, the media is the way to get the message out there. Yep. And out all across this great country that we live in, there are people that are angry about it that haven't done anything. And you never know. Hearing you on the radio, seeing you quoted in the Washington Times, seeing this kind of coverage on Fox or CNN might be enough to get them up off the couch and have them say, look, I've had enough of this too. And then we have, a sheriff someplace that wants to do something. We have, a city like Costa Mesa that's finished, they've ended their job center. They now want to be involved in local enforcement. Somewhere around in Podunk, out in the middle of the country, is somebody that's going to say, you know what, I've had it with this too. And this is the kind of way that we're going to build this kind of momentum that's going to get these elected representatives. They're not leaders. I never call them leaders anymore. There are very few leaders. Congressman Ted Credo's a leader. J.D. Hayworth's become a leader in Congress. Very few leaders are elected representatives, but as this slow-motion tidal wave builds across the country, we're hoping to gather citizens and sheriffs and elected officials, city councilmen, county council, state representatives, and get them all moving and motivate Washington and let them know that we mean business. And if they can't do the job, then somebody else can take their job. And,
right.
One of the things that, we've talked about this for a decade since we've been doing this, Terry, over a decade, that what we need is a farm team. We need more people in Congress. We need more people there to help Tom Tancredo. There isn't a person like Tom Tancredo in the Senate at this point. If we can start getting, does city councilman ever run for state office? Do county commissioners, county supervisors ever run for Congress? Of course they do. If we can start getting people to think that this is an issue that matters to people, then they can make their political bones on this issue and they can end up in Congress. Nobody at the party level is going to tell them, well, now that you're in Washington, you can't talk about immigration anymore, because they're going to say, hold it, immigration reform got me to this position, and I believe in it. And we're starting to see that develop right now.
Things are changing, Rick. I tell people all the time, especially I'm going to be speaking in Danbury, Connecticut in a couple of weeks, and I was talking to the lady, the head of the group there, and she's just gotten involved. I said, well, you picked a divine time to come in, because now things are changing. There's a lot of hard-fought years where you and I and a lot of other people were involved in this and nothing got done, and now all of a sudden things are changing, and it's because more and more people are coming on board. They are influencing these people in Congress to do the right thing, whether they want to or not.
You are right. In 2005, in the second half of 2005, I think we saw a complete change. I mean, we've been working at this for so long, and it has always been a grassroots effort, and it's always been an effort to say, how come, Mr. Congressman, you're not paying attention to this? How come, Senator, you're not doing anything about this? Look at this problem. Look at all this. And then last year it changed, and I think three things changed it. I think Proposition 200 winning in Arizona, their version, of course, of Prop 187, that woke up the political establishment again to the fact that, hey, this is still very popular. And in Arizona, I think that was number one. Number two, of course, was the Minutemen. Jim Gilchrist and Chris Simcox and what the Minutemen did and all the media that they got. I do a lot of public speaking myself, and I always ask the group, how many people here have not heard of the Minutemen? No hands go up. Everybody's heard of them. That's
biggest,
tremendous.
Biggest thing to happen to this movement since we got started, those two words, Minutemen. Got to go, Rick.
Radio like yours, that's what's getting the word out. Terry, thanks so much for all your hard work. Love to see all of your listeners out there Wednesday night at Feinstein's office at Santa Monica and Sepulveda in L.A.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. We'll try to make it.
Terry, I appreciate
all
you very much.
Take care, Rick. There you go, folks. Rick Altman, and this will be at Dianne Feinstein's office. It's an important event. And we want y'all to come out if you can. Very peaceful. Candlelight vigil, you know, for something we believe in. All right, for all you Democrats out there that think your party is the party that's got it going on, here's a guy that represents your party in the state of California. He is the head of the Democratic Party. And listen to what he had to say about Americans who just happen to be white and don't feel a way about illegal immigration that he does.
Remember, 187 is the last gasp of white America in California. Understand that.
And people say to me on the Senate floor when I was in the Senate, why are you fighting so hard for affirmative action programs?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Learning feels good. Call 1-800-EDUCATE today. I'm Jonathan Weiss on News Talk 870, KRLA, where your opinion counts.
Are you losing your hair? Give your confidence a boost with Avacor. Now with Boost for fuller, thicker-looking hair.
Every time I use Boost by Avacor, somebody comments that my hair looks great.
Boost not only makes my hair look fuller, but feel thicker. I love it.
Avacor with Boost can give you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
Most of my family is bald. It happened to me, too. I tried Avacor. In just 3 months, my hair came back.
I've been losing my hair for 17 years. I tried Avacor. I was told I would see astonishing results in 4 months, and they were right.
Find out how you can get up to 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-478-5410. That's 1-800-478-5410. Get visibly thicker hair instantly and up to 3 months free.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Approved. Americans will lose control of their own future. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress to say no to the FTAA.
Attention, Americans. This is a call to action. Our country is in an undeclared state of national emergency. Mexico has challenged the honor, dignity, and sovereignty of our nation by letting its citizens and military cross into American soil. Standoffs between the Mexican military and our law enforcement officers have taken place. Every day, thousands of Mexicans and others come into our country illegally, disregarding our laws. Americans are murdered, raped, and victimized by illegal aliens at an estimated rate of more than 1,000 per year. On May 6th, join me, Frank George, Lupe Marino, Shannon McGauley, Missy Stebbins, and Terry Anderson in protesting George W. Bush for his unwillingness to stop the illegal alien invasion of our country. Stand up for America. Join us in Crawford, Texas. Visit us on the web at areckoning.com. That's areckoning.com. This is a joint project of Latino Americans for Immigration Reform, the Texas Minutemen, and all patriotic Americans. George, we're coming.
Okay, folks, this is Terry Anderson, and we talk about the illegal alien invasion on our program. We're going to get to each and every caller. We've got people waiting online for half an hour now. We're going to get to all of you. Before we do, let us go to our sponsor, Jonathan Rose of the Capital Gold Group. The website is safeasgold.com. The number is 800 210-599-5594. Jonathan, what do you hear? What do you say?
Well, how are you doing this evening?
Pretty good, buddy.
Well, you know, we talk about gold and precious metals every weekend, but for any new listeners that may be tuning in tonight, this is the year to diversify your portfolios, your paper money, and diversify it with something tangible that's actually going to be worth something as the paper money goes down, and that's solid gold. I'm also recommending palladium this year to our investors, Terry, because the catalytic converters, they're now being replaced with palladium instead of platinum. So you're having companies like General Motors, companies like BMW have also hinted that they're going to be switching from platinum to palladium in the catalytic converters. So palladium is an excellent buy this year. And of course, gold, we all know where that's going. It's going to continue to go up, up, up as the dollar goes down. So find out how you can protect yourself with precious metals by giving us a call at the Capital Gold Group at 1-800-510-9594. And Terry, all of your listeners are going to receive a gold guide. It's a $20 value. They'll get it absolutely free just for calling this evening.
Jonathan, I saw a program on TV while I was in Washington, D.C. last weekend. They were talking about a lady who had lost her life savings in the stock market and just bad investments. And some of the things had done well and some hadn't. But she stayed in too long or whatever it is. I never played the stock market, so I don't get it. But she lost everything. And I thought about you when that happened, because had she had part of that money in gold, she would still have it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? When people ask me, Terry, how much should I put into gold? I tell people not everything. That just wouldn't make sense. But you at least want to have 5 to 20% of what you have in paper. Move it sideways. It's conservative. It's solid. It's gold. It's the only asset that's kept pace with inflation for the past 200 years. Paper assets have not done this. Mutual funds have not done this. Find out how you can keep pace with inflation. Protect your dollars. Put a safety net underneath them. This is what we've been telling people, Terry. And gold is at about $560 an ounce. We're predicting it will go to over $700 by the end of this year. Give us a call right now so you can take the opportunity and find out the facts for yourself. 1-800-510-9594. Again, that's 1-800-510-9594, and get your gold guide courtesy of the Capital Gold Group.
Folks, he's telling you how to hedge your bets, how to hedge your wealth. You know, he's not telling you to put it all there. He's telling you to put some of it there so that in case something happens with the other money, you will have this as a fallback means to not be totally broke. This is Jonathan Rose, the Capital Gold Group. The website is safeasgold.com if you want to go there. The number is 1-800-510-9594. We will give this number out again at the end of the show. Those of you who couldn't write it down, Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We appreciate it.
Thanks, and we appreciate you, too. Keep up the good work.
Take care.
Thanks, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's get to the callers. Let's get to Bill Reed. He's calling from Grand Prairie, Texas. Bill, what do you hear? What do you say?
All right, Terry. Any of the folks that's not going to the Dianne Feinstein thing that may be traveling on the 15th, we would from out in your area.
We are on the air in Texas as you speak, so.
We should. Well, good. We should absolutely like to invite them to a Team America meeting that the American Engineering Association is hosting. I think I sent you an invite to it.
Yes, you did.
And hopefully, if anybody is interested in coming, they can get a copy from you, or they can email me at billr@aea.org. And we'd love to have some folks come. We've got them coming from as far away as Houston, Austin, Temple, Texas. So we'd love to have some Californians show up out here. In fact, we've got one, I think, coming from El Paso, which is...
That's almost California.
Well, it's halfway.
West Texas.
Yeah, it's halfway, that's for sure. And... we wish, incidentally, we have emailed all of our people from AEA that lives in California, letting them know about the Dianne Feinstein thing. And hopefully some of them will show up.
Good.
But
all right, folks, if you want to make it there, this is February the 15th.
15th at 7 p.m., and it's at the Ruth Jackson Center in Grand Prairie, Texas, which is like halfway between Dallas and Fort Worth. And
give out that email address again where they can reach you, Bill, if they want to.
Sure. It's Bill R. at AEA.org. Our main speaker is going to be Baby Cannon.
Okay.
And she's just dynamite.
All right, Bill, we hope you have a good turnout. This is good stuff. It's very important, folks. If you're there in Texas, listen, or anywhere else, and you want to make this meeting, please do. Go somewhere this Wednesday. It is important. We've got events going on across the country. Do something. Show up. Get the information, but have your body there. We need the count. All right, Bill, thanks for calling with that, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Terry.
You take care.
Good to talk to you.
Likewise.
Again. Bye.
All right, let's go to Michelle. Calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Michelle, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hi, Terry.
Hey, how you doing, kid?
Good. It was really nice to meet you.
Likewise, likewise. We had a good time, didn't we?
Yeah, it was really great. You know what happened to us?
What's that?
Stephanie Harris, my media coordinator, and I were over at the Senate building trying to pass out our packets to all the senators. And the first night, about 4:30 in the evening, we were so tired. We're rolling along from the Russell building, going to the Hart building. We had to call Senator Kyle's guy up at the Hart building. We tried to make the phone call. We couldn't get an answer, so we figured we'd just walk on over to the Hart building. So we crossed the street, got to the Hart building, and then we just sort of rested our feet. And then Stephanie looked down the street and said, "Wow, look at all those police officers down there." You know, we saw the road was closed off and everything like that. And I just thought maybe the president was coming or somebody really important was coming to the Senate building over there. Later to find out, it was because we forgot one of our bags at the corner, that they closed off the whole corner over at the Russell building. And it's really funny, and the reason why I bring that up is we were from Phoenix, and we had to come all the way over back to Arizona to the border area where we have no protection. And the senators and everybody in Washington have cops every 15 feet pretty much, and they close everything off, yet they let the American people out here in the Southwest just live with pretty much no protection, and it's sort of sad.
Well, that's the way it's always been, but it's not the way it's always going to be, Michelle. We're going to fix this thing. And you heard me talk about my experience with our representatives. And I don't want you folks to think I only go see black representatives. No, it was three of us. We happened to be black. We thought we'd go in there and push the black thing. You know what I mean? Because we are represented in our different districts by black people, and like I say, we are black. But we go and talk to everybody. But these people here need to be talk to a little more because they vote in unison. They vote against it every single time, as do these senators. So we got to keep putting the pressure on these people.
That's we absolutely do. Yeah,
absolutely.
We also went into Ted Kennedy's office, and he wasn't in, of course. Even if he was, he probably wouldn't have let us come in there. But one of his little aides in front, I showed him a sheet of paper of some homework from here
somewhere
in Phoenix. And it's in Spanish and English. Every other word is Spanish and every other word is English. And I showed it to this kid, and he sat back and he didn't think there was anything wrong with it. And that's pretty scary when the aides think there's nothing wrong with homework that comes in two different languages. I mean, he thinks there's nothing wrong with bilingual, but to me that's more like Pig Latin when it's every other word.
Elitism.
Absolutely. Well, I know you're really busy, but let me just put a plug in here. We're going to be in Cochise County. Maya and our supporters are going to be out in Cochise County this weekend, the 18th, 19th, and 20th. And if anybody can make it out there, we'd really appreciate that. We also have a great group called the Border Guardians. I guess they're going to be down there supporting mothers against illegal aliens. I got a press release from them today. So we'd like to have anybody that can come down there, join us to help, you know, promote mothers against illegal aliens and help our kids and the mothers that are out in the southern portion of our states who are dealing with this daily.
Well, Michelle, it was great meeting you. I'm glad you were able to come. We had a really nice showing of people there.
Absolutely.
We had people from all walks of life, ages, races.
Yeah, you know,
everything,
one thing I just want to say. Remember the one guy who had the KKK sign?
Oh yeah.
I think they should change that to AAA for accommodate.
That's it. That's good. I like that. All right, Michelle. You take care.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye bye. All right, folks, let's go to Cherie calling from Valparaiso, Indiana. Cherie, what do you hear? What do you say?
Well, I hear that we're going to have a little protest in Indianapolis on February 25th.
Heartland of America.
And we're going to be protesting the Mexican government for meddling in our affairs. I don't know if you know that IFIRE recently testified against a bill that would have given illegal aliens driver's certificates in Indiana. And the star witness for our opposition was the Mexican consul from Indianapolis, whose name is Sergio Aguilera. And he actually had the gall to get up there and press for passage of this bill because he wants illegals to be able to drive. So we're just sick of taking it, and we
feel
like it's about time we stand up and tell the Mexican government to butt out. So we're kind of copying, well, we're exactly copying what Paul Streitz did with CTCIC.
Right.
And we're taking this national. If people would like to join us, we've got people in California, Georgia, Indiana, Illinois, and New Jersey who are all going to participate in this protest at the consulates on February 25th.
Sounds good, Cherie. You let us know how it goes because we're really interested in that. I do get your emails from your website and everything, and it's good stuff. But it's nice to know that somebody in Indiana is doing something. I mean, we've got almost every state represented now. That's what we need. We need a unified stand against this with soldiers on all fronts, you know, or else we're doomed if we don't get this fixed.
Right, we've got to work together.
Absolutely.
And I think more people are joining us. More people are finally having enough. And we're expecting a pretty good turnout for this.
All right, Cherie. You say hi to your sister. You know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
All right. You take
Thanks,
care.
Cherie.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's go to Evelyn calling from Irvine. Ev, what do you hear? What do you say?
Oh, hi, Terry. I wanted to just give a little comments about my participation in the trip to D.C. By the way, Cherie, the folks in Indiana have a great congressman, John Hostetler. He's from Indiana. Hello?
He's a good guy.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, we went to the Senate buildings. We had appointments with many of the senators, and the ones we didn't have appointments with, we went to all 100 Senate offices. And we had an envelope to give each one, and inside was each senator's personalized report card from Numbers USA. So,
I also referred to Numbers USA when I was in Melvin Watt's office, and they claimed to have never heard of that website.
Yeah, that's what the staffers said where we went to.
Yeah,
they
right.
all popped their eyes when they saw the report cards from their particular senators.
Mm.
And one perfect guy who is maybe the one you're looking for in the Senate is a new senator, David Vitter from Louisiana. He says A+, 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 all down the line, Vitter.
Wow.
But anyway, I was in one of the buildings, and we were in the House buildings, too. I went to the cafeteria to get some coffee, and I had my Minuteman sticker on my clothes. So the cashier was talking to me about it, and she knew what it was, and we were talking about illegal immigration, and I went to sit down and have my coffee, and she started sending the cafeteria workers over to me to talk to me. So I'm having a conference with about five of them. At the table, they sat down with me, and I said, well, you have a big problem with illegals in D.C. here. And Terry, they said, we've got them working right here in these buildings.
Unbelievable.
And we know they're illegal aliens. Well, the federal government is violating their own laws. They're working right there in the Senate buildings.
Unbelievable. And you know what? If you were to make this public, you could probably get it on 60 Minutes. You really could. I think that would really make 60 Minutes a Nightline at least. Unbelievable.
I don't know how else to make it public but to call talk shows.
Well, that's pretty public. We'll see if we can get it on there. We'll forward this to them. You can testify that you actually were there. This is not hearsay. You were there. You talked to the people. You know what's wrong with this, Evelyn, is nobody checks. Nobody cares. They're working everywhere. I saw them all over D.C. And if you say, well, how do you know? I'm from California. I know. Okay? We can look at them and tell. We know.
Well, the people working there know. And one other thing. If you listen to Spanish language radio, you find out that this month... Later on this month, MALDEF, LULAC, the National Council of the Race, the Immigration Lawyers Forum, and all these organizations are going to be descending on the Senate demanding amnesty.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Watch for it.
All right, Ev. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
All right, let's go to Ron calling from Orange. Ron, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hey, Terry, my friend. You know, I was just looking at an article here in the Orange County Register, and, you know, this van that crashed near the border, I just want to say something to, I know a bunch of people are listening from the other side, you know. if we had the military on the border, just like Mexico, and if we had a really solid wall or a fence between Mexico and the U.S., guess what? Chances are really, really good that van wouldn't have crashed, and over 20 people would not be injured right now. And you know what? A lot of these people, these open border advocates, vilify the Border Patrol. They say that they're hunting these poor immigrants, illegal immigrants, by the way, and that they're hurting these poor immigrants. Well, you know what? There's a picture here where about, let's see, six Border Patrol agents are providing first aid to an illegal immigrant. You know, I'm so sick and tired of seeing the Border Patrol vilified when they are out there helping these people who are breaking into our country.
It's never going to be enough, though, Ron. They want them to leave them alone, just let them cross as they want, and give them a green card when they come across, and maybe even a county check. You know what I mean? Give
makes
it,
me
hand it all out.
Really makes me sick. And I just want to say something. You know, Jen and I could not go to Washington like a lot of other people, but I want to tell you people out there who are listening, if you can't attend someplace, do the same thing like we did. Call these numbers.
That's right.
Get
it's
up
important.
On Numbers USA. Call these people. Bend their ears. Bug them. Pester them.
Call Congress. 1-866-340-9281.
I'm sorry, Terry. People, just because you can't attend physically, call them up. Let them know. You know who you give amnesty to? Criminals.
Yep. All right.
That's it.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Terry.
Take care, buddy.
Take care.
Let's go to Rich calling from Pasadena. Rich, not much time. What do you hear? What do you say?
Yeah, I want to comment about the D.C. guy you're arguing with.
Yes, sir.
I think you should have called him a pinche puto cabron.
Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate that call, Rich, but we don't use profanity in any language on this show. All right, let's go to Barbara Cole calling from Orange County. Barbara, not much time. What do you hear? What do you say?
Hi, Terry. I'll be very, very quick. I just want to share with your listeners that while we were in Washington, D.C., and seven or eight of our CCIR people were standing around talking, we met an incredible black American who overheard us. And believe you me, he is one of our dedicated supporters. And guess what? His first words, he never misses your show.
Well, that's great.
Isn't that fantastic? We gave him our data that we were passing out. He promised that he would also go to some of the senators who are threatening to support this life-threatening illegal alien amnesty program. And he would make his point on our behalf. We were thrilled to be able to talk with him. I am going to, off the air, give you his name and hope he will come on your program, Terry.
All right, Barbara.
Okay, because he is an incredible, courageous patriot.
I appreciate that. We'll get the information and we will contact him. Thanks,
okay.
Barb.
Bye.
Take care. All right, let's go to Joe. I believe it's San Juan Capistrano. Joe, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Hey, Terry. This is Joe from San Juan Capistrano. My father told me about you, and I had to check you out. In fact, I went as far as join the Minutemen.
Good for you.
And I would like to tell you for a fact, I've been going to quite a few rallies in the last maybe 6 to 8 weeks, and I've had people come on the other side of me and say, hey, you're really hurting our people. They're starving. They're losing jobs. So I want to let all those people out there going to those rallies to let you know we are getting the job done. Keep on going. Keep the fire on high.
Well said, Joe. That is absolutely what's going on. We are getting it done. It is escalating and moving faster than it ever has. I've been in this for 13 years, and I've never seen progress like I have in the last year and a half, 2 years or so.
I got one question, though, if I may ask.
Sure.
I want to know, how can we hold the federal government accountable for their actions like they hold us when we don't pay our taxes or we don't follow the rules
or
whatever?
Good question. We're held accountable, but they're not.
Yeah.
Right now, Joe, there's no way. The only fight we have is our presence, our mouth, our money, and our votes. And those are the things that we can use to fight them right now. That is our only tool. But I like your spirit, and I want to appreciate you to everybody else. Welcome you into the movement, and thanks for joining the Minutemen. We need guys like you.
Thank you.
All right, Joe. Take care.
You too.
Let's go to Ron calling from Eureka, California. Ron, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Terry Anderson, I want to tell you something. Thanks for taking my call, good brother. Let me tell you all out there across America something. Up here in Eureka, American people, white and black both, are doing all of the jobs. There's not a grease ball up here.
Now, Ron, Ron, we can't use that terminology. Now, I got to stop it right there.
There's not an illegal alien up here working anywhere doing anything. All Americans are cutting the lawns. They're doing roofs. They're doing plumbing. They're doing drywall. They're doing it all. So help me God. And I've driven around this town, up and down this town, along the beach and everywhere. American people, this place reminds me of the good old 60s, when American people who built this nation, this great country we live in, an illegal alien didn't do it.
All right, Ron.
An illegal alien driving us down into the sewer. But up here in Eureka, California, I feel like I've died and gone right on into heaven.
All right, buddy.
Praise the Lord, brother.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, sir.
Let's go to Lawrence calling from, I believe, Tunnel Hill, Georgia. Lawrence, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring you up to date on Atlanta, the Dustin Inman Society and the Minuteman Project, that the little anti-protest or counter-protest we had in Atlanta today. And we had almost as many counter-protesters as the illegal aliens had protesters. So we're making a lot of progress, and DA, I'm sure, would say hello if he was still awake.
Well, Lawrence, you judge your progress by the amount of people who come out against you. Then you know it's working.
As many people today
Good.
As we had before.
Good. All right, buddy. Thanks for that. We appreciate it, Lawrence. Thanks for staying up with us tonight, too.
Appreciate it. Yeah, you guys keep up the good work.
All right, buddy. You take care. All right, folks. Can't take any more calls. Jerry, Ron, the rest, I'm sorry. I'll try to get to everybody next week. Don't forget our good sponsor, the Capital Gold Group. That's safestgold.com. Jonathan Rose, the number is 1-800-510-9594. Don't forget the meeting in Grand Prairie, Texas, at 7 o'clock on the 15th Wednesday. That's the American Engineering Association is meeting with Babe Buchanan there. And don't forget the rally. The candlelight vigil is 1111 Santa Monica Boulevard, right there at Sepulveda. That's Diane Feinstein's office. That's 6 p.m. this coming Wednesday, the 15th. We need a lot of people to show up out there. You know what, folks? I had a good time in Washington, D.C. I got to go there and meet and greet a lot of people from all over the country who feel the same way we do. I got to talk to politicians. I even got to go there and get talked bad to by some politicians. I got to meet that little broke-back city councilman there. And, you know, it's amazing that Americans are still alive and well and willing to go out there and do these things. We are up against a very formidable adversary, I would even say enemy, people who don't want us to succeed in this, but we will. And we will because we are right. And I cannot understand how anybody can be against us when we have the laws of this country with us, on our side, in our favor. And they're right there written down. We're not asking for anything new. We're just asking the outrageous thing of having our laws enforced, and they are fighting us all the way. Don't forget this week with the swings, we got Y plus ones and the offense of offenses of the offended. Good stuff on the swings. You can read it on our website. Don't forget our good buddy, Rusty Childress, the Childress Auto Mall, 22nd Avenue in Camelback. Go buy a car, used car, new car, get your oil changed. Rusty is one of us, folks. We must support him. He takes a lot of heat. I want to thank Mike Reed, Engineer Deluxe, for doing the show tonight, and Mel Haffenfeld for taking your calls. And I want to remind you, we need your help to stay on the air. We have the new calendars for the Terry Anderson Show. That send your donations in to us, the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. We need your help, folks. I'm going to remind you of those three websites we talk about every week, the TerryAndersonShow.com. And don't forget our good buddy Juan Man at DeportAliens.com. And for the up-to-date information on the illegal alien invasion, go to Glenn Spencer's webpage, AmericanPatrol.com. This is Terry Anderson for the All-American Radio Network saying we will be back again next week, as usual, attempting to articulate the popular rage. Good night, folks.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBNLive.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.